Today on Family Talk. In the home of an alcoholic, children have three unwritten rules. Don't talk, don't feel, don't trust. Those emotional reactions eventually become baggage as that child grows into adulthood. That's what we're going to talk about on today's classic edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. We're coming back to a program series that uncovers a very painful subject that is too often just swept under the rug. But it's so important to talk about this because of the sheer numbers of people who deal with the effects of growing up in the home of an alcoholic. It often leaves scars on the lives of those children and, in fact, every member of the family. In North America, there are millions of people who've been hurt by alcoholism. Nearly 14 million Americans, that's one in every 13 adults, abuse alcohol or are alcoholics. And somewhere around 30 million Americans grew up in homes where at least one parent was an alcoholic. Approximately 6.6 million children under the age of 18 live in households with an alcoholic parent. So this is a huge social problem. There are consequences of those early childhood experiences, and that's what we're going to talk about today. A few years ago, we had four people in the studio who understood that issue very, very well, and they openly shared their childhood experiences and some of the things that they went through growing up in an alcoholic family. I know this recording is going to resonate with many of you, and I do hope that it will offer some encouragement and some support. But this program will include sensitive subject matter, so it's not intended for young listeners. With that caution to parents, let's go ahead and get started with today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Three of the four do not want their names given, and we're going to honor that for you all. I'm just going to give enough information for people to kind of understand where you're coming from. First, we have Ann. Ann, as I said, is not your name, but it's good to have you with us today. Next, we have Chris, who's a licensed psychotherapist in the state of Colorado. And then we have Joe, who's an industrial engineer. Finally, and we will identify this person, we have Kurt Grayson. Kurt, like the others, grew up in an alcoholic home. He's a licensed marriage, family, and child counselor in the state of California with a degree from Rosemead School of Psychology at Biola University in La Mirada, California. Kurt has a doctorate in organizational psychology from the California School of Professional Psychology in Los Angeles. Kurt Grayson and Jan Johnson are the co-authors of a book. It's called Creating a Safe Place, Christians Healing from the Hurts of Dysfunctional Families. I'm sorry to take so long to get the program going, but I sure appreciate your being here.
You're welcome, Dr. Johnson.
Kurt, I know back in 1986, you started a small support group for adult children of alcoholics at the First Evangelical Free Church in Fullerton, California, and you called it New Hope. You're no longer involved in active leadership with New Hope, but I'm interested in what you did there. I think it has relevance for us. Start at that point. Tell us what New Hope was all about and how did it work?
Well, the support group, the idea really is a chance for people to come and talk about what they experienced in an alcoholic home. I know in my own situation, I realized that we never talked about the alcoholic home. We just lived around it. It's kind of like the story of the elephant who walks through a house and no one acknowledges that the elephant is there. And this is a safe place for people to come and share the pain that they went through and also find hope in talking about it.
Now, people who don't know anything about adult children of alcoholics and don't understand the process here will say, why would people want to come wallow in that every week? Why not forget it? Get on with their lives. Why spend one night a week talking about the misery of their childhoods in the homes of an alcoholic? What's your answer?
Well, I feel like it's important not to stay in the past. I mean, my goal as an adult child of an alcoholic in recovery is to move forward in my life. But I know what we experienced with the support group, by talking about what happened to us, we're able to free ourselves up and not be prisoners of the past.
And you were commenting in my office that the great benefit of a of a session like that is not just sharing the pain, but sharing it and then still being loved.
That's
Somebody
correct.
Still cares for you.
That's right. It's so important to feel that acceptance and love out there, that you can reveal what's happened to you in your life and that people will not reject you. You're so fearful of the rejection coming. Mm-hmm. And there you can go and feel the love by opening up and sharing the real you. You become, each week, it becomes a little easier to share a little more. And with the love and support of friends that actually give you hugs and encouragement, it encourages you to go on. Mm-hmm. And you can heal the past by getting in and dealing with issues that you haven't looked at.
You might be buried down there.
I had stuffed mine down my entire life. I had not dealt with feelings because it was too painful to deal with feelings. I didn't know what a feeling was. I suppressed everything, including anger. I think that's one of the things that comes out. And it's okay to express anger. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, I was angry. You know, anger comes out of hurt, out of being hurt deeply.
In that kind of Christian environment where people meet with that common understanding of the love of Christ, in that atmosphere of openness, allows the healing to occur, doesn't it?
That's right.
Well, all four of you have gone through some of the same trauma. Let me just throw it open to the group and talk to us about what it's like to grow up in the home of an alcoholic, or in some cases, two alcoholics, mother and father. Mm-hmm. What is that experience like? We're talking to people right now who know already the answer to that because they have experienced it. There are others who have no idea. Explain for that second group.
I think the main thing for me is the fear, the absolute scariness of being a little child and not having parents around. And knowing, even though you don't have the words to describe it, knowing that there's no one in control except yourself. Mm-hmm. And then so how do you deal with certain things? And one of the ways that I dealt with things is I hid. I actually had a little favorite closet that I would go in while my parents were verbally arguing. My father had been heavily drinking. And that was the safest place I knew, underneath my bed or in my closet. My best friend was the Cocker Spaniel. So,
was just your father an alcoholic or was your mother also?
When I was growing up, my father was the alcoholic, very much so.
But your mother did not fill the role?
Not until later in her life. But as growing up as a child, you know.
What were you thinking in that closet, Chris? What was going on in there?
Stop it, stop it, please stop it, it's too noisy. When it gets noisy, it gets dangerous. And I couldn't say that when I was age two or age three, but it's something bad is going to happen. Something really bad is going to happen. And in my family, unfortunately, it got pretty violent. The verbal was just screaming, and it got violent. People got hit. I got hit.
And you remember that very clearly today from age two or three?
It's interesting you would say that. I repressed so many of these memories until about 7 years ago. And then when I became a Christian and asked the Lord to mold me and make me into His image, these memories started to occur. And I did not know that that incest and physical abuse was part of my history.
My goodness. Joe, do you remember your childhood?
Sure do. There's something that's real important, I think, to say. Before I got into recovery, I didn't remember my childhood. People would say, well, what was childhood like? And I'd think, and I'd say, well, previous to about 13, 12 years old, I didn't recall. But what it was like was very violent. My parents both were alcoholics. My experience was, for instance, coming home from school when I was a kid, I didn't know whether my mother was going to be drunk or not. And when she got drunk, she was usually violent. If she wasn't drunk, she was a real nice lady, a real nice lady. So there was a lot of different messages going on, a lot of confusing things. Now, if my mother wasn't loaded that particular evening, things went okay. My dad came home. He didn't typically drink at work nor after. However, if my mother did drink during the day, I came home, the house was in a in a terror. My dad came home. He was absolutely angry. They got in fights. They beat one another up. What is that like for a little boy to see his mother get beat up by his dad? I can remember trying to get in between them when I was little and getting myself kicked around. Mm. It does desperate things, desperate, deep down things to one's own soul.
Did you seek to hide like Chris did? What would you do when your parents were in a brawl?
Sometimes I got in the middle of it. I was a real acting out type person. And oftentimes they put myself and my three sisters to bed. We got out of the way when we were smaller. When I was in my teenage years, I finally got to the point where I could stop them. I was strong enough to stop them, and I tried to make some peace there.
So this went on year after year after year.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. 20 years. It goes on now as we speak. They live in my head.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I am an alcoholic.
Yes. One of the reasons Joe used that term is he is a recovering alcoholic. In fact, 70% of the children of alcoholics become alcoholics.
That's true.
That's the figure.
Correct.
Isn't that amazing? That's correct. Yeah. 70%.
And also, you're four times, if you grew up in an alcoholic home, you're four times more likely to become an alcoholic yourself or to go on and marry an alcoholic.
That's the amazing statistic, that you've seen all this tragedy and you turn around and link yourself to somebody who's going to perpetuate it in your adult life.
But there's another very important thing here, Dr. Dobson. Oftentimes when we talk about alcoholism or the victimization of the alcoholic family, adult children of alcoholics, I think what comes across is a, for lack of a better term, a wimp factor. And that here we are, we're belly aching about this and that and the other thing. The fact is that people who are raised up in that environment, and I include myself, obviously, are tough people, very tough people. And it isn't this is about, oh, look what happened to me. It isn't about that. I mean, we can live out a life of being a victim over and over again, but really I'm here today to really talk about not being a victim and being a victor over it.
That's right. I think that in a way, I know that I feel like I have become a survivor. If you've lived through an alcoholic home the way we have, you are a survivor.
One of your parents was an alcoholic?
Both of my parents were alcoholics, and I can really relate with Joe because at the age of about five, maybe six, when my mom and my stepfather would fight, they were both alcoholic, I would stand in the middle of them, this little teeny kid, trying to push them apart. And as soon as they would hit each other and go to their separate corners, I would go and do about an hour's worth of counseling with my mother at age five.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding. Saying what to her, Kurt?
What can a five-year-old say other than, Mom, I'm sorry it happened. I'm sorry I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop him this time. And I felt like at that age, I should have been the one to stop it.
Can you remember how you felt?
I think certainly I felt confused. Certainly I felt panicked. I remember that. I've lost a lot of my memory, as Joe said, but the things that I do remember are some of the most traumatic things. And as I've started to deal with my recovery as an adult child of an alcoholic, many memories have come back, not memories that I've wanted to come back, but I've been able to get a feeling for the healing as I've gone through that. Especially to me, I remember the feeling of comforting my mother, comforting my stepfather, saying, it's okay. I wish you wouldn't fight, but I understand that you did, and I'm sorry it's my fault.
Now, several of you have already made reference to the fact that you couldn't remember a lot about your childhood, at least until you began to recover from some of those experiences. My wife Shirley went through the same thing. I mentioned to you all in my office a minute ago that Shirley and I went together day and night for a year before I knew that this was her childhood. I mean, something so significant to her past, she could not tell me, even though we were very close and obviously heading toward marriage, she could not reveal it to me. And I remember one night we were sitting out talking together, and she said, there's something I have to tell you. And I thought, my goodness, what in the world? And it was this big, heavy thing. And then she told me about her childhood as though somehow this was a dark blot, a secret, some kind of something that would make me not love her anymore. It didn't have anything to do with my love for her. This is something her father perpetrated, and yet she saw it as a great handicap a great blot on her worthiness. And that's rather typical, isn't it?
Of course.
Did you all feel that way?
Yeah,
you feel somehow depreciated in value because of what you'd gone through?
I think it's the shame. The shame of having a parent as an alcoholic. I also think as a child feeling responsible. I know there were many, many times I thought, if I could just do this, then Daddy wouldn't drink so much. And one specific incident was I was in the fourth grade, and my first marking period I happened to get straight A's. And I thought my father's drinking was a little less. So I decided if I went through the whole fourth grade with straight A's, maybe by the end of fourth grade he'd stop drinking. Mm-hmm. Well, I got all those straight A's. He didn't stop drinking. It got worse. But it's
right?
that feeling of being responsible. And if I could find the magic key to make everything okay, it'll be okay.
You're nodding, Kurt. Is that familiar territory?
Well, I took it the other way. Instead of being a good kid, I caused problems in school. I decided my goal in life was to get D's and F's in second and third grade. And I proved to my family that was about the time that my parents were going through a divorce, and my mother actually married my stepfather, and then the drinking got a lot worse. And I remember trying hard to get D's and F's and not knowing why I was doing it.
Is it clear to you now?
I think I understand a little better that I was basically asking for a cry for help. I was saying, Mom and Dad, I'm unhappy. I don't like what's going on. And I'm going to show you that I need to get noticed.
Earlier, you talked about seeking out those same kind of personalities in future relationships, such as if we don't become alcoholics ourselves, we tend to marry those and get in relationships. And I did that. And what I've learned in recovery is that subconsciously we seek out to recreate the situation that we lived with as a child in trying to fix it. You want to go back and relive it and make it all better, make it right. So there's that responsibility again as that child trying to take and fix it all for everyone.
Summarize the feelings for me. It's feeling rejected, unloved, unlovable.
Lonely.
Is that one of the common characteristics
Isolation.
For you?
Afraid.
Fear.
Sorrow. Of fear.
It's feeling as if there was something I could do. If there's a there's a magic answer. There's something. If I could find that, then Mommy and Daddy will be better. And I also think that a big feeling with me was confusion, because I had good daddy and bad daddy. I mean, I would have daddy who would be so drunk that I believe that he was in a blackout, and he would do atrocious things to me, to my mom, to my siblings. And then on another day, he would make us the most fantastic kites, better than you could buy in any store, and he'd teach us how to build rubber band guns. I mean, he would be this wonderful. I have wonderful memories of my father. And that, as a kid, you want to hold on to, and you tend to deny the other. And the other happens. But what do you do with that? And at any moment, is it good daddy or bad daddy? Who's going to come into my room?
Yeah.
It's really confusing.
Anne, what was your childhood like? We haven't heard the details of that yet.
You know, as Joe mentioned earlier, I don't recall a lot of things in my childhood. I think that having been married to an alcoholic, I've mostly dealt with the issues today. And I'm just now getting into the ACA and dealing with some of the childhood issues that I know are there and that I need to work on. I do have a memory that I think will help people understand a little about Christmas. In therapy several years ago, I found myself doing a lot of crying, waking up in the morning in tears and not knowing why I was crying. And as the therapist began to ask me to look into my childhood and remember what Christmas was like at my house as a child, all the pain came back. The pain that I had stuffed down and never looked at and never thought about all came out. And what it was like was I was an only child. My father was the alcoholic in my home. And what he did was he would go to a bar and not come home until very, very late in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And Christmas, he never bought my mother or myself a Christmas present in all of our life. There were 2 years that he did go on the wagon, so to speak. He became sober, and he did remember Christmas for us. And I remember him purchasing a gift for me, which I still have to this day.
So those two Christmases are the memories that you hold on to?
The highlights of Christmas for me. The other ones were Mother and I were alone. Our relatives are in the East Coast, so Mother and I were alone, and Mother tried to make Christmas something, you know, special for me, but I would wake up early in the morning, and I would go and waken my mother, and it would be Mother and I, and we would open the few little gifts we had, and then the rest of the day was just like any other day of the year. There was no family. There was no fun. There was no laughter. There was no joy. There was no meal shared. Dad mm-hmm. was drunk in bed, passed out cold. He didn't even know Christmas existed.
It's similarly for the other side of your
Absolutely. I know. During Christmas for me, it was more Christmas Eve. We would go, our whole family would go to a friend's house, and we'd have a Christmas Eve celebration, and usually by about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night, and the kids were up till 1 in the morning because the parents were too drunk to take us home. They would be passed out on the couch, drunkenly singing Christmas carols. So to me, Christmas Eve, I still get that feeling Christmas Eve of just being very nervous and having it be no connection with Christ, having it be a painful memory.
Yeah, I can remember when Christmas Eve, that vision that came to me as myself and my three sisters, we live back east. It was snowing usually at Christmas time. And we'd be looking out the window, looking for the car coming up the road. My parents were usually out drinking. And they usually got home real late on Christmas Eve. And my older sister and I, you know, we decorated the tree for my little sister. We became the parents, and we had our own little Christmas, but it was always, you know, it just never was quite there. We always yearned to have a nice Christmas, and occasionally we did have a nice Christmas, which was real nice, because my parents weren't bad people. Don't get me wrong. They were good people, but they were sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was thinking of, and I did not realize this until I was an adult, Christmas morning, it was like my father was there, but he really wasn't there because he was so sick with a hangover. But I didn't realize until I was an adult that not everyone left a bottle of bourbon and cookies for Santa Claus.
Absolutely.
And that brings in how the family feeds into it.
Yeah. In fact, the things I've read about this problem, one of the characteristics is that the children of alcoholic parents don't know what normal is.
That's right.
Right? Because they haven't seen it, so they think what they experienced is mm-hmm. normal, mm-hmm. Which explains why they perpetuate it in their own families later on.
Yeah, later then as an adult, at least for me, there is a real sorrow of the loss of a family. You know, mm-hmm. I feel family-less. I feel orphaned mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I did not have that normalcy. I did not have that closeness.
Today you feel that way.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Most of this stuff is unconscious, too. I didn't realize that all of this had happened. My unconscious, I guess, realized it because I was acting out all over the place, and I eventually became an alcoholic, which I see as a response to some of this. But it wasn't like I woke up at 21 years old and said, hey, let's have a messed up life. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. I just kept struggling.
I would like to just continue talking and recording what we have to say, and then we'll air it tomorrow or the next day, and get on with a little more of the detail. Can we do that? Just continue
sure.
here?
Sure. Absolutely. Sure.
As kind of a wrap for this first program, Kurt, I want to go back to something you said just before we went on the air, that when you start talking about this subject, the people who are hearing it, the listeners who have been there, are predictably going to feel certain things. Mm-hmm. We have an obligation to speak to those. We're not only informing those today who don't know anything about this subject, but we're talking to those who are experiencing it now or have been through it as a child. Mm-hmm. What are they likely to have felt in this last half hour?
I think if it's like me, if you stuffed your feelings for a long time and never admitted that the events that took place in the home were that tragic, or you've kept all the bad feelings away, people that I know that come to our support group every week, often within 5 minutes of talking, we begin to see tears, and we begin to see people who begin to get in touch with what happened to them. Oftentimes, things shut out for many, many, many years. And so I would like to say to the listeners, if you're feeling some pain or feeling some depression or some things that are you're remembering in your life, it's very normal. As a matter of fact, it's healthy, and part of recovery is to begin to get in touch with these feelings. And that's part of why we're here today.
Well, Kurt, Ann, Chris, and Joe, thanks for participating today, and stay right where you are. We'll just continue talking.
What a compelling message from some folks who weren't afraid to open up and admit that they're still dealing with the painful effects that alcoholism has played in their family and in their own personal lives. We'll continue this important broadcast for another couple of days because we have a lot more to cover. If this conversation has somehow struck a chord in your own life, or if you're thinking of somebody that really needs to hear this, let me invite you to call and request the CD of the entire 3-day broadcast. Let me also recommend a resource that we think could be helpful to you. It's called The Healing Journey for Adult Children of Alcoholics by Daryl Quick. This is a good tool to start the healing process and begin to overcome some of the darkness of alcoholism in the family. We'll have a link to that book on our website, drjamesdobson.org, or you can ask about either of those when you call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next time when we continue this discussion about the adult children of alcoholics. God bless, and we'll see you then on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.